Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, John Kuzma, from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show. We're going to be talking about the Lions of American Football. The Lions of American Football, or the AAF, made their debut yesterday. And I have to say, it was pretty exciting. They were very, very organized. You could tell it was well put together. The execution of the game, the flow of the game, it was great. They cut down on commercials. They also did a great job of having a sky judge up in the booth that would review all the plays to make sure each call was correct. And you actually got some transparency as far as what the refs were thinking on the field. So overall, just a great job by the people who run this thing. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Let's actually recap the games. We're going to start with the Orlando Apollos and the Atlanta Legends. Garrett Gilbert's big night helped the Orlando Apollos light up the Atlanta Legends 40-6. The AAF got their inaugural season underway when the Orlando Apollos hosted the Atlanta Legends at Spectrum Stadium. This wasn't much of a contest because Steve Spurrier put on a coaching clinic and completely showed up Kevin Coyle. Spurrier's offense had crisp execution. There was concepts that the former South Carolina and Florida coach learned over the course of his 56 years involved in the sport. All of that put Garrett Gilbert in a position to succeed, and what a night the Apollos quarterback ended up having. Gilbert threw for 227 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions before the contest was over, including a strike up the seam to Jalen Marshall, which was actually the first touchdown in AAF history. De'Ernest Johnson also caught a touchdown from Gilbert, too, and it was an offensive onslaught. Atlanta couldn't find their rhythm on either side of the ball, and there wasn't very many bright spots for them. Matt Sims threw for 126 yards, zero touchdowns, and two interceptions. It wasn't a great night for the Legends quarterback, and they should see if Aaron Murray can give them more output. Lawrence Pittman did make the most of his touches. He ran for 24 yards on three carries for the Legends, while Centavius Jones had 43 receiving yards in the defeat. Overall, this was a total success for Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian because everything ran so smoothly. On top of that, the play on the field seemed a step above the UFL or the old XFL. Moving forward, the AAF has established a good foundation, but the challenge will be keeping fans interested throughout the entire season. Opening night is always a good draw, but will people continue to watch all the way until week 9 and 10? So we'll see how things play out, but there's no doubt this was a win for the league. Really, that says it all. This was a win for the league. They did a great job. They came out and put it all together, and in particular, Steve Spurrier and the Orlando Apollos were just crisp execution-wise. And you could tell that the Atlanta Legends just didn't have as much they didn't have the technical side of the game under wraps like Steve Spurrier did. He's just been around the game for almost six decades now. He's coaching in his 70s. And there's just so much upstairs for Steve Spurrier that he's going to have a shot to win this league. His offensive creativity is probably one of the best in this entire this league. So he had to like the Orlando Apollos chances, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future. And what a night Garrett Gilbert had. He really lit it up. He was the guy that made everything tick. So just a huge night for the Orlando Apollos. Big night for Garrett Gilbert, and we're off and running as far as AAF goes. Now to the other game, the San Antonio Commanders defeated the San Diego Fleet 15-6 in front of a packed house at the Alamo Dome. Week one of the Alliance of American Football has arrived, and it seemed like the San Antonio Commanders hit the ground running. At first, the defense was taking care of business, and they actually sacked Fleet quarterback Mike Bercovici 6 times before the night was over. That included a devastating hit by Sean Washington that sent Bercovici's helmet flying through the air. Brian Mueller was also stellar for that group with 5 tackles and 1 interception. It just seemed like San Antonio played with energy from the get-go, and their home crowd was definitely charging them up. Mike Martz's San Diego team was the complete opposite. Traveling from California to Texas is about 1,200 miles, but it didn't feel like the Fleet got off the plane. Martz is an offensive-minded guy, but his team only managed to put up 6 points, which came on a pair of field goals by Donnie Hogman. Logan Woodside was also able to show up Bercovici. Woodside threw for 255 yards compared to the 176 Bercovici had. Even though neither quarterback threw for a touchdown, this was the first action these guys have seen in a long time, and they'll all get better as they shake off the rust. Therefore, you have to like what you see from Woodside because he was throwing some deep ball strikes down the field. It takes a lot of throw power to complete those passes, and that's a great sign for the Commanders. Then the final piece of the puzzle was the winning team's wide receivers. Mikhail McKay appears to be a future star, and he could wind up in the NFL someday. McKay tallied up 80 yards before the night was over, and Alonzo Moore chipped in 78 yards too. Jaquan Gardner was the best player for San Diego with 55 rushing yards, but no one else really stepped up. Overall, though, you had to like what you saw because the league appeared to be very organized. So basically, in this San Antonio and San Diego game, Mike Martz and the San Diego Fleet travel from San Diego, California to San Antonio, Texas. It's a long flight out there. And when they got there, they just were not ready to go. It seemed like San Antonio had the energy on their side from the get-go. And like I said, you could tell that the fans were really breathing life into that team. They were so supportive. And believe it or not, the Alamo Dome was pretty packed. I was surprised to see how many people were there. It's clear that the people in San Antonio, Texas are getting behind their new football team. And, you know, this first night, just like the Apollos and Atlanta Legends game, it was a total success for the San Antonio Commanders. Not only did they win, they cultivated a good football environment that fans can buy into, fan-friendly. There was a big hit when Sean Washington knocked off Bercovici's helmet. That pretty much went viral immediately because that was a KO shot. And I think they're doing a good job of generating a buzz about this league. People are truly happy with their first experience with AAF. I was checking out some of the feeds and some of the blogs and things like that, and all the feedback has been good. I would really like the rest of these games to be on CBS. I know that's kind of a dream come true, and the rest of the games are going to be on like CBS Sports Network and Bleacher Report, their Bleacher Report Live, I think it's called. But I would like to see CBS pick up more games. I know TNT is going to cover some games too, but put this on primetime TV. Stick with it. People are always going to watch football. So as far as, you know, Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian go, the guys that put this whole league together, I was listening to what they said. Their whole message was to give the people what they want, and what the people want is more football. They did so, and like I said, it was a step above the UFL, the United Football League, which was done by the AOL guy and investment banker. I think it was like the AOL guy, I think, was Tim Armstrong. I can't remember the other guy. The USFL was around when I was very, very young, so I don't remember that too much. The old XFL, when they first came that first night, they had a good draw the very first week, I should say. People were definitely behind it. Remember, it was on national TV, and there was a giant buzz around it. But the problem with these leagues are you start getting into week 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and interest tends to wane. So that's where they have to keep fans engaged and get them to buy into the league. And at the same time, not only do you have to keep fan interest high and people come to the games and people buying tickets, merchandise, etc., you also have to, as far as Bill Polian and Charlie Ebersol go, you also have to maintain this league, which is very expensive to run. You know, they all invested a lot of money into this project, and it's very easy when you got so many expenses on your plate to let everything spiral out of control. I actually ran a semi-pro football team for 6 years. It's very hard to turn a profit in sports. Now at the pro level, you know, obviously they do. We've seen how much value these NFL organizations have run. So maybe with the TV contracts and the things that they have, they can keep the brand, I guess you can say, a buzz around the brand or about the brand. But it's not going to be easy. Week one, everybody's geared up to see what's it going to look like, what's it going to be like. They're tuning in to get an initial experience. Now you got to keep them hooked, basically. And you do that by, you know, just putting a quality product on the field. And beyond that, you got to get a little bit lucky too. You got to catch some breaks. And really, it comes down to them doing their due diligence and just keeping it like it was ran this opening night. They did a terrific job of it. But like I said, the UFL at the end, they couldn't pay their players. And then all these people ended up suing the owners because all these players weren't paid and, you know, stadiums weren't getting paid and things like that. So hopefully the AAF doesn't burn through their cash and get to that position where they're writing bad checks and not paying players and facilities aren't getting paid for and things like that. But if they can keep it going, it's possible. And I do think this league is run better than anyone else we've seen do it. And I really like that all these NFL coaches, Mike Martz, Steve Spurrier, I guess Spurrier is mainly a college football coach, but they have these bright football minds with a ton of experience. They know exactly how to do it. And, you know, Charlie Ebersol is the producer, big Hollywood producer. His dad was Dick Ebersol, with, I think he was with NBC. I had an executive with NBC. Those guys understand how to promote a product and deliver an experience that the fans and the audience will enjoy. They just understand what they have to do from their experience on that side of you know, working in the industry as far as Hollywood and showbiz and things like that. So you blend the football guys with the entertainment guys, and it looks like so far that equates to a very good football product. And it's just going to be you know, a week by week thing. You know, there's games today on, two games on today too. So we'll see if they're a success like opening night was. Of course, these games I think will be on a different channel. They won't be on CBS, so they won't have the that you know network coverage, that top spot as far as coverage goes and the broadcast goes. But it's a work in progress, and you know, I saw some people say it's not perfect, but to me, that was as close to perfect as you can get for your very first two games. It couldn't have went any better for those guys. Clearly, they put a lot of work into just getting everything organized and putting a group of good players on the field that, you know, wasn't sloppy. It was pretty crisp. You can expect a low-scoring game as far as these early games. I know the Apollos game wasn't, but the Commanders and Fleet game was. But things will improve. But good job, AAF. I'm John Kuzma. That's all I have today. Check out endzoneblog.com. I appreciate it. I'm signing off. Take care.